Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 283 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
As my neighbor zooms by in their car, making all of the noises possible. Thank you. Come again.
Of course, it's like a little banner that says, Cospod is starting. Make some noise.
Well, and we're at that point, too, because school's back in session, that I'm going to start hearing the football games from the high school, from the two high schools next to me. So I'm just waiting for that to start happening on Friday nights. Like, all right. Come on, announcer man. I can hear you. Usually they're not so bad, though. Usually it with all of the stuff I've done to the room, it dampens the noise. But every now and then I can still hear them, even with my headphones on. I'm like, I hope nobody else can hear that.
Yeah, I live near several noise-generating entities.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And there's only so much you can really do, honestly, except put in some earbuds and drown it out with something better.
Yeah, especially for our case, like padding out the room as best as you can to kind of help get the noise to be absorbed and not go into the microphone. That would be ideal.
Right, which is why my microphone is right next to my face.
Mm-hmm. Mine is actually it's a directional microphone, so it's specifically supposed to only capture from a certain point. So, not bad for $25.
Speaking of spending money, shall we get into cosplay updates?
Sure. I don't spend money on cosplay updates, though, because I have told myself not to spend money on any cosplay this year, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm doing a great job of it.
I haven't yet spent money on it, but I may end up having to.
Uh-oh.
And it's because you all remember I was in bias tape hell, and I am now in process of attaching said bias tape to the dress. And then I got to the end of my bias tape and looked at how much fabric was left that I had not actually bound. I'm about 6 feet short.
Oh, oops.
I'm not entirely sure how that worked. I guess maybe I didn't take into account how stretchy that fabric is. Because it's not standard satin. It's stretch. It has a little bit of stretch to it.
Oh.
And so I think I did not account for that when I was holding the bias tape up to it loosely. And so I've been scrounging around trying to find long enough scraps that I could use from the fabric itself, because I do have leftovers. It's just a matter of, are they long enough to be worth anything?
Right.
Because you can have like tiny scraps. It's like, I'm not going to get bias tape out of this. So the idea isn't that I'd have to go buy bias tape, because they don't make the same kind of bias tape that I would need for this fabric. You basically have to make it out of the fabric itself for it to look right. But I may have to buy more of the fabric. Just enough, like an eighth of a yard, like one of those long strip pieces from the bolt. Just enough that I would have enough bias tape to finish the last 6 feet. So hopefully I won't have to do that, because then I have to take a swatch with me to color match. Because I found out the hard way with two of my batches that dye lots are very important. And sometimes all it takes is just a couple of degrees of color for it to be visible.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
So fingers crossed. I have cut off the last of the leftovers that I had, so I've made more strips that I have to turn into bias tape now. Hopefully it's enough, because I don't have more. That's it. All my other scraps are too small.
Oh, goodness.
And I need to save some of those scraps anyway, because I need to make the little kanzashi flowers that are like yay big for the headpiece. But those scraps can be a lot smaller. I only need maybe an inch and a half squares for that, so like yay big. Very small. Those are okay. Those are actually a great way of using up fabric scraps, incidentally. And also, because I had talked last time about needing to find a jar or an object round enough that I could shape the bracelets around. So I pulled out my little turmeric jar. So you can see I have padded it with 6-inch or 6-millimeter foam.
Nice.
It's about 6 inches around, actually. I think it's closer to 7. So you can see I have gained muscle, because that's how long that's how wide my biceps are for the bracelets to fit. And I have started adhering the gems to it. You can see there's only two, but but there are blank spots mm-hmm. that I have not adhered anything to yet, because I have to set it to where this is flat so that the stone doesn't move around when I glue it. I'm not using hot glue. I'm using standard craft bond.
Oh, okay.
Because it's supposed to go around my arm, which will flex. And if I use hot glue, it'll pop off whenever I like move my arm around mm-hmm. because hot glue is not flexible.
No.
You have to use a flexible glue for pieces, both armor and accessories that go around the body.
Hot glue,
unless you want to lose them.
Hot glue is flexible until it doesn't want to be flexible anymore.
Right. I mean, it gets really flexible when it gets hot enough.
Because then it's like, oh, well, it's just glue again, hey.
Exactly. And that's not what you want. I mean, I'm not going to leave this in my car for a few hours just so I can wear it. No, then everything will just fall off. So I'm using a flexible glue, but that means it takes longer to set, too.
Exactly.
It's not insta-set. But that's okay. I'm giving up a little bit of time so that I don't have to worry about it popping off later.
Exactly.
So I'm doing this to both bracelets. And I also wanted to show the difference, because I actually finished... you'll remember I was cutting a bunch of like really tiny pieces of the gold fabric to cover up the seams with. And you can actually see that it looks pretty smooth all the way across.
Nice!
So that you don't really see the seams anymore.
Like I said, it looks more intentional.
It does. And I was actually really happy with how it turned out.
Good.
As opposed to not doing it. I did the same actually with the edges of the necklace. So mm-hmm. you can see all of the edges are covered up now. Nice and neatly. Same thing here. So I am very glad that I went with this.
Good.
It looks a lot better. Granted, I have absolutely no gold fabric left.
But that's okay.
And I know for sure it's not carried anymore, because I have checked both Joann's in my area now and it's not there. So no more mistakes. Yay. But I'm basically alternating between making more bias tape and then rotating my pieces around so I can glue gems onto it. I'm doing the same with the corset, but the corset's sitting on the table right now.
Mm.
The corset is still very boxy because it's seamed. And so the foam pieces that I cut, the panels that I cut that are decorative, have very sharp seams where they meet the seam on the corset itself. So mm-hmm. it looks like this instead of like this. I don't really know how to fix it, just because whenever I put it around my body, it's going to have the sharp edges. So I may end up actually cutting styrene strips and doing the same thing that I did here with the gold strips. But because the styrene is harder, it'll soften that edge. It'll keep it round, in other words. Or it'll keep it flatter instead of pointed. So it'll kind of look like that instead. And then I have just enough gold fabric strips that I cut left over for the corset that I can cover the styrene with it. And it'll have the same appearance as the necklace and the bracelet. So I think that's what I'm going to try. It may not work. And if it doesn't, I have no leftovers to do anything else with it.
So we're just going to roll with it.
Pointy. Exactly. It may just be pointy.
Hey! Just going to roll with it.
Exactly. That's the progress I've made. I'm nearly done. I am ready to be out of bias tape hell. I'm so tired of satin. I'm not going to make anything else satin for like the next year.
I guess we're not converting you to satin then, huh?
No. I am starting to really dislike stretch fabric in general.
It's one thing when it's just normal satin, not costume satin, not the cheapy satin, but like actual like legit satin. And then it's another when it's stretch satin, when you have to do anything with the stretch to it, because it's not just stretch one way. It's also stretch along the bias too.
Yes. Yes.
So it tends to do this slinky, slithery thingy that can be kind of hard to control, especially since you're trying to add some binding to it at the bottom too. It kind of makes it go wee in some weird different way. So it just makes it take longer, and it just requires you to be slower and more meticulous.
It seems to be harder to measure accurately.
Yeah, because it's just
doing things. Doesn't want to stay in place.
No, yeah. It doesn't really want to. Again, because it's not a structured fabric. It's got stretch to it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll drape gorgeously.
Yeah,
it'll drape
lovely.
Like a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be one of those like flowy type skirts that you want to whirl around in when mm-hmm. I'm done. But until that point, it's just being a royal pain.
Yeah, and it's going to be a pain until you're done.
But I mean, thankfully, all that's left is the zipper, so there's not much left
That's
to it.
good.
And then it can just sit there on a hanger while I finish up gluing all of my little gold pieces.
That's good, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no more satin for a while. I mean, I have plenty of other fabrics that I can work with. Okay, I mean, technically, I do have one more bundle of stretch satin, and it's for the Kirara Gajinka that I was going to make that I haven't touched yet, and now I'm not in the mood to.
Because is it similar fabric? Oh, yeah, you're not going to want to touch that.
In fact, it's almost the exact same kind of cut. The only difference is that it's a little bit lighter weight and it's a little bit shinier. That's the only difference. It stretches the same.
Oh, man.
In fact, I think the Carrara one might actually be four-way stretch instead of the two-way stretch, which is what I have. So it might actually stretch in one additional dimension.
Which could be both good and bad.
Correct.
It depends on how it's being used. It could either be good or bad.
In fact, I had intended to cut a similar dress out of it, where it's one of the halter top dresses with the very flowy skirt. That had been my intent, but that may change now.
Especially if you want to use that fabric.
Yeah, we'll see how annoyed I get.
I understand this well. Okay. So, I'm trying with these dumb bird things on my book, and my second attempt is okay. I started painting them, realized I don't like where this is going, so now I'm on a third attempt of the birds, and I still don't know what the heck is going to happen with them, because I'm just like, this is the part where I don't like it, and this is why I don't make props and armor, is the way my brain is designed. It is very difficult for me to take a flat or a 2D object and turn it into 3D. I just cannot do it. And before I hear people starting to scream at me saying, no, you can totally do it. Just do this. No, I can't.
A very particular wiring in your brain for visualization. It's not that people can't do it. It's just that it's really, really, really hard. Like to the point of beyond annoyance, and you just set it aside.
If it's something made out of Legos, I can do it in Legos. I can do it in a square or a rectangular brick form. I got that. Anything beyond that just makes my head go, I don't get it. And this is not coming out the way that I want it to. So it just frustrates me to no end. So it's like, The reason the book is able to get as far as it has is because a lot of the pieces have been flat or it's just been slightly raised and a lot of rectangles and squares. So it just made it very straightforward what the process was going to be. This is a part where it's like, I need four identical birds and I know hand sculpting all of them, they ain't going to be identical and that's going to bother me. Right. So it's like, crap. Okay. So I'm back to the storyboard going like, I don't know what I'm going to do with the dumb birds other than I cut out more of them. The pieces have been cut out. And I'll figure out what the heck's going to be next. But the back of the book is done now, so I can at least show off that. It's painted all nice and pretty, and it's shiny.
Oh, wow. Those turned out nice. I like the raised texture.
Yeah. Guess what I used for that?
Puffy paint?
Yeah. Yeah, puffy paint.
I knew it.
Puffy paint saves everything. I mean, that's what I ended up doing with the scarab was the puffy paint thing. But it is kind of funny from the front because the tabs just kind of... They're all loopy and they're like, wee, I'm hanging because I can't attach them yet.
In a way, it kind of gives it a more scarab-like appearance because they look like legs.
Yes.
Around the book.
It's so funny. I'm just like, well, this looks dumb.
I'm waiting for it to have like a giant scarab on the back and those are the legs that reach around.
How funny would that be? No, the back is actually pretty plain, which I'm kind of happy about because like that made that easy. So yeah, it's looking goofy from the front, but... I can't do anything with the tabs until the birds are done. So I'm just kind of stuck and I'm waiting. So once the birds are done, I can actually glue it all down. I'll be happy camper. This is done. I can move on. But yeah, at least the back is all nice and clean and pretty and you don't see the paint lines anymore. Whee! So that's good.
Yep.
Yay for that, at least. So yeah, this is slowly coming together. I don't know, unfortunately, because of work and life things, when I'll get an opportunity to get back to this. And I'm just going to have to poke at it with the dumb birds as best as I can over the next couple of weeks, because I really want to do some sewing, but I can't until this is done. I need this off my brain first and solidified and standing next to my other books before I can move on. So yeah, that's what I got. Nothing really fun or fancy.
That's okay. It is still progress, and that's what counts.
Progress and going like 500 steps back, but that's okay.
You made progress forward because you got the straps on the book.
The straps are on the book, sure. I yeeted the birds.
I don't know. Games have taught me that birds are supposed to be yeeted.
Or they're
particularly they're upset.
If they're demons and they want to hunt you and kill you, like if they're the chickens from Legend of Zelda, those things are just evil.
They can also be yeeted, to be fair. I know this is a fact.
Take your word for it. I don't play Zelda games. Sorry.
In the same way that you pick them up so that they fly you around, you can also pick them up and then chuck them. Which is hilariously funny until they all come and swarm.
I was about to say, until they start swarming you and they're like, excuse
yes,
me.
And then it's not funny.
And then you got a real problem on your hand.
Then you have barbecue. That's what the magic rod is for. Oh. It is literally for chicken barbecue. I love Legend of Zelda. All right.
Let's roll to our topic.
Let's do it. We're going to be talking today about character ownership.
And so go ahead.
So the big question is, can you own a character that you cosplay?
No. Next question.
I had a feeling we would have a similar view on it.
So the reason that we put this down is that this was something that came up in the Twitter sphere at the beginning of August. I know it's like late August, but we actually had good stuff to talk about the last couple of times, which is why we didn't get to this, where someone through TikTok had cosplayed something and they had claimed ownership of this character. Like they were apparently the first person to cosplay this particular character. And they were like, this is mine now and I can be the only one who cosplays it. No one else can. And unfortunately, I couldn't figure out where the source was or where that started from. But basically, the Twitter sphere behind that, the Bluebird app, whatever we wish to call it, not its current name, went into two distinct camps. Mostly those of us who are over the age of 30 were like, you can cosplay whatever you want. You can't own a character unless it's your own personal OC, your original character. And then the other camp was, well, they're the first, therefore they've got claim on it. What? No?
As somebody who has seen word of studios time and time again enforcing copyright on artists trying to portray likenesses of these same characters, let alone make them physically, you know, incorporate in the real world as costumes, I promise you don't own them.
That there is a mouse named Mickey that would definitely tell you otherwise.
Among other companies.
Yes.
A lot of the animation companies are also very protective of their intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes cosplaying. You might, if you've cosplayed for a while, then you probably already know this. But if you haven't been around the cosplay community for very long, it may seem like, you know, everybody can cosplay all of these really famous copywritten characters and the companies just don't care. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. That's not technically the case. There's a case to be made for fair use, yes, mm-hmm. but technically as their copywritten property, the companies could ask you to not cosplay that character.
They could.
And if you sell patterns for that costume or if you sell commissions for that costume itself, then they could actually ask you to stop that too, as well as potentially issue a lawsuit against you for basically theft of their profits for that intellectual property of theirs. But the thing is, most companies just don't pursue it. They choose not to. Especially if it's just one-off costumes for yourself and you're not selling it to other people trying to make a profit. So it's not that the companies don't care. I promise you they do care. Just they're choosing not to enforce their intellectual property over it. But please don't let that give you the idea that you can just do whatever you want and you own these characters and only you can do it and nobody else can and you're allowed to enforce some sort of gatekeeping on it. That's not the case. They Mm-mm. still technically belong to the companies. They're just not telling you, you know, you're not allowed to cosplay that character.
Yeah, right now cosplay is still, quote unquote, a niche category for a lot of the big companies that it doesn't make profit for them. So there's really nothing in it for them to be like, okay, let's start like enforcing some rules on this and preventing anybody from cosplaying. It doesn't benefit them in any way, shape, or form. If anything, more often than not, they go out and seek out cosplayers because they want that mm-hmm. extra attention to kind of garner support for whatever TV show, movie, mm-hmm. anime, whatever's coming out next. I mean, usually there's good partnerships that form from it, but they have every right to say, no, we decided we don't want people cosplaying any Disney characters anymore, so you can't do it. If you want to do a Disney costume, you need to buy from an official one, from a Halloween store, a legit official one, not one of the knockoff ones, or from Disney.com directly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they could, in theory, do that, but we're too still small potatoes on their radar that it's not a big right. deal at this point.
And a lot of companies will hire booth workers mm-hmm. that are cosplayers mm-hmm. specifically to help market whatever their latest campaign is. If they have a new show coming out, if they have a new series coming out, if they have some sort of new merch coming out, and they'll have cosplayers set up in that particular outfit. But it's a marketing thing and it really helps them get the word out. And so whenever people are cosplaying from that series, in a way, it helps them out. So they'll count it to an extent as kind of free marketing for mm-hmm. them. And some companies even go so far as providing profile shots. They'll provide reference shots, whether it's video games, anime, whatever, because they know people like to make cosplays of their characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll provide this information to you freely, partially so that you don't pirate their game and try and pull it from them, you know, illegally. They're giving it to you so that you don't try and break their stuff to get that information. It's like, here, we know you like to cosplay. We'd like to help you out. But like Val said, that it's not meant to be overly permissive, like, oh, you can take this and run with it and make money off of it because we don't care. Most of the time, the companies aren't making their own costumes licensed style like Disney does
mm-hmm.
because it's not a good business for them to be in textiles. It costs a lot of money to make. It's not very consistent when you sell it because it's only certain times of year, like around Halloween when yeah. you really sell it
mm-hmm.
or conventions. So it's very spotty and you don't always make back what you have to put into it. Textiles, especially right now with inflation being the way it is, are very expensive. Fabrics have almost doubled in price. And so it's very expensive to make these things. And then you have to sell them for a lot more money than people might be willing to pay right now. So it wouldn't really make them money anyway. So they just let cosplayers do it as long as they're not biting into their bottom line.
Basically, yeah. I know it's been the case where I've seen more often, especially with Etsy sellers, if they're doing model kits or patterns mm-hmm. or reselling a costume, you have to be wary about how you promote it and how you sell it because it could ping those big companies who immediately send a cease and desist. And then that could fudge yep. over your store, unfortunately.
Yeah, and even big box stores that like to sell very, very, very similar costumes with very generic names, which I will not name.
Hilarious.
Yes. Some of them are kind of skirting the bounds of propriety, perhaps, as well, with some of those costumes that are perhaps licensed by other entities. So it's something to consider if you're going to be an independent seller of these things. I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know who we're talking about.
We know exactly which ones you're talking about, and that's okay. So the bottom line is, if you didn't create the character, no, you don't own the character. It's as simple as that. It really, truly is. If it is your personal original character that you designed from scratch, you came up with their characteristics, their behaviors, their personality, when they were born, what food they like to eat, their favorite color. I mean, like, literally, you created the character from the starting point. That's your original character. Then yes, of course, you have the right to be the only person that cosplays it, and you can tell others not to. That's totally fine. That makes sense. You can also arguably, and this is where it can maybe get a little bit muddied in the water and put in that gray area, is original designs on an existing character. And I think of Pokemon Guy Jenka as a fantastic example. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like, technically, yes, Nintendo owns Pokemon, but they did not create these unique designs for that particular, like, Pikachu or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could argue, like, okay, I'm the only one who can wear this design that I created for mm-hmm. this character, but I'm not going to say that I own the character. I do own the design, though. I think mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that when you make original designs like that, if you upload them to the internet, to an extent, you lose a little bit of control over it.
Yeah, there's only so much you can say and do. I mean, you can put out there, like, this is my design. I don't want anyone else to cosplay it. And the majority of people will be respectful of it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there will always be that one or two people who are like, no, I'm going to do whatever I want and just disregard it. And there's really not a whole lot you can do. You can push through legally if you want to. That's a gray area. Since I don't know any of the legalese around it, but you could, in theory, get a lawyer and issue a cease and desist. But once you put it out there on the internet, it's kind of, unfortunately, free game. You can do what you can to kind of mitigate it, but there's only so much you can do.
And also, just because somebody cosplays the same character or creates the same character, even if it's one of your OCs, it's generally not out of a sense of maliciousness.
No.
It's because they love the design so much that they want to pay homage to it. Mm-hmm. They thought that it was so cool that they wanted a version of it too. And they may have been either too shy to ask or just didn't think to ask permission to be able to make a copy of it or to ask if you would be willing to make one as a commission. Because not everybody that designs them is willing to actually make them on commission. Sometimes people just have fun designing fashion, mm-hmm. but they're not in the business of actually making it. So somebody that does make it may want to say, hey, you know, I really love this design. Is it okay if I turn it into a real costume? But they may not know how to ask, especially for those that may not have their contact info available wherever you're posting your versions of your character. Because I think a lot of people, if you had your contact info up, they would ask you. Mm-hmm. Some may just not know how to ask. And that's all.
Yeah. Well, to kind of spin off of that, one of the comments that I saw echoed a lot was how much fun it is to go to a convention and to see people dressed up as the same characters. Because instantly, you know, like, okay, these are the people that know my fandom. I want to say hi to them. That's how you make friends real fast at a con and they become your line buddies. Like, oh my goodness, you like Sailor Moon too? Obviously I do because I'm dressed up from Sailor Moon. Isn't this great that we're like 5,000 Sailor Moon characters all together? Like, that's part of the joy of being able to dress up and seeing all these people in the same costumes. And it ends up becoming such a great bonding experience, whether it's over the show or whether it's over the craft itself, like, because everybody will have done something a little bit differently. Like, all of those moments make it way more fun instead of being the only one that's like, this is mine and mine alone. I'm the only one who can do Sailor Moon because I was the first. And it just feels so isolating.
In a way, and what I'm about to say is solely my opinion. It's not CosPods. It's just me personally. But in a way, it comes across a little bit selfish mm-hmm. when you gatekeep like that. And the reason I say that is not because I'm casting aspersions on anybody in particular, but that when you say that you own something and that nobody else is allowed to cosplay it, it comes across as it's because you want all the attention for it. Mm-hmm. And then it makes it all about you and not the cosplay, the craftsmanship, and the camaraderie that comes, like Val said, with cosplaying characters from the same fandom. If you make it all about you, then it can't be all about the community. And I think cosplay is a lot more fun when you can enjoy it as a community. I mean, yes, there's some factor of attention in there. Everybody wants to have their picture taken and have that 15 minutes of fame. I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly okay with that. And I support you having wonderful, gorgeous pictures taken of your cosplay. But at the same time, remember that the word play is in the word cosplay. This is meant to be fun. It's not meant to be really all that serious. Even competition is not supposed to be as cutthroat, I think, as it usually comes across as.
Right.
It's all meant to be in good fun. And I think that takes away a little bit of the play part of the cosplay. Then it becomes costuming, which is a lot more serious. And I think we've had enough isolation in the last several years that we could use some community right now, I think. But that's just my own personal opinion.
You know, and I wonder if some of that has shifted because of social media, where this idea mm-hmm. of we need to try to be the first, we got to try to be the best at it, just to become viral, to become...
Right, we need the views.
We're feeding the views and trying to get all the likes and the faves and the shares and the retweets. And it's just that mm-hmm. obsession really makes costuming not fun. Cosplay just kind of becomes an afterthought, and then it's all more about trying to get attention on social media. It doesn't really grasp what cosplay was when we started and the roots of it, which really was about community and just finding your people and having mm-hmm. a blast talking about really dumb, nerdy stuff.
mm-hmm. And there may be that fear that if you let somebody else make that cosplay, that they're going to do it better than you. But you know, that's honestly always a possibility, because there's always going to be people with more skill, mm-hmm. with more experience,
with more
and
time.
More money than you. Yeah. There's always going to be people like that. And that's not just limited to cosplay. That's limited to, that's any hobby.
Yeah, that's life.
Literally anything. Someone is going to be better at it than you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because healthy competition can actually help you increase your own skills and can help you do it better. And if you find someone that has done it better, ask them how.
Yeah, learn
Talk
from
shop
them.
With them. Exactly. So it's not something to be afraid of, and it shouldn't discourage you from cosplaying, and it shouldn't really drive any sort of urge to gatekeep, I hope. Just use it as a sort of healthy boost of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep pushing you along in that cosplay journey, I think.
And if anything, it'll help keep the hobby. This is where the sleep is coming in, kids. It keeps the hobby fun. It keeps mm-hmm. it enjoyable. It keeps it refreshing and engaging. You don't feel like you're having to chase trends or having to keep up with the social media machine that is constantly changing thanks to the algorithms. Instead, it's just you finding something that you enjoy doing, and you can just kind of thrive in that. It's more fun if you love what you're doing for a hobby versus just doing it to try to chase the likes.
Social media won't be forever. And honestly, your 15 minutes of fame isn't really going to amount to very much where it comes to social media. Even if one of your posts went viral for something that you made, it'll be viral for maybe 3 days at most.
Yeah.
And then it will be gone off the front page, and probably not even on the second page, because something else will take it over. And even if you've monetized, you're not going to make that much money off of it, honestly. So it's not really as helpful to worry about chasing likes and chasing the attention and such. If you do a solid job on your costume, the attention will come.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you build it, they will come. And you can have any sort of photographer take amazing pictures of your costume, even with phone cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a fancy telephoto lens to get good pictures. And so I don't think you have to worry as much about getting the views, getting the likes, because they'll come, honestly. Just stick to your hobby, stick to your passions, and the rest will take care of itself.
There you go.
So I think we're both in agreement that no, you don't own the character.
Unless it's your original OC.
Exactly. Unless it's your own original making. And even if it is, please don't gatekeep it.
You can so much.
You can always ask people to politely, please, you know, don't make this into cosplay. Don't take my design. If you want to do this, please ask my permission.
Yeah, ask first. And then just
put your contact info up there so that they have a way of asking your permission. And then that's it. And then we're done.
If you're the first person to make the costume, cool beans, good on you. Other people are going to make the costume too. You're not going to be the only one, and just trying to gatekeep that really turns it into a bad time for all involved. People are going to cosplay. It just is what it is. And It's either you're on board with it and you get to make a lot of new friends and meet some cool people and have some great experiences, or it turns into just a mind-numbing thing that you fall out of after a year or two, and then it's just not enjoyable anymore. And that's no bueno. That's not fun.
It's honestly the best way that people learn how to get into the cosplay hobby to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Is they look at other people's costumes and they look at these characters, and it's like, I want to make that. And that's how they learn. Because Even as humans, we learn by repetition. We repeat what our elders are showing us, right? So they're going to look at the cosplay elders.
Hi.
And they're going to see, oh, you know, this is what they're capable of. This is how it should look when I make a costume. Now I want to take one of my favorite characters and I want to do that. And so they're going to basically imitate what you did, because that's how they're going to learn. Yeah. And then they'll get better and they'll pass it on to the next generation of cosplayers.
I was going to say, the number of times I've had people private message me and ask, how did I make this thing? Like, yeah, that means they're going to make the same costume. Cool beans. Even better. Because I usually cosplay as obscure characters. I want more people cosplaying the things that I cosplay.
Because then it's not obscure anymore. And then You can actually, you can geek out at conventions even more when you know, oh, hey, that person is also a fan of the things I am a fan of. And maybe even likes the same characters.
Yep.
Whenever you cosplay as something, you're basically telegraphing, this is what I like.
Exactly.
To the world in so many words. And sometimes, I mean, there are times when people cosplay things that they're not necessarily a fan of because they think it's cool.
Sure, yeah, that's happened occasions. Characters.
Yeah, it may be characters that they've never even seen the show, but they just thought the character looked really cool.
Yeah, the costume was like really unique and they were like, oh, I want to make and wear that.
And that's okay. I mean, I have a couple costumes on my docket for shows I've never watched, but it's like, that is a gorgeous design. But hey, maybe it'll spark conversation and somebody will tell me some cool things about the show and then I'll go and watch it.
Yeah.
Cosplay is fun, or at least it's certainly meant to be. It's
supposed to be.
Omitting the blood, sweat, and tears part of it. You just set that part aside. Don't pay attention to the person behind the curtain. Behind the curtain is blood, sweat, and tears.
Sad.
I mean, you still have to pay your dues to get into the hobby of cosplay, which is to say you still have to like learn how to sew, learn how to make props and armor. You still have to practice. But it's not that bad.
It's really not that bad. If anything, I think the one thing that's better about cosplay now is the access to information and materials. Everything is so plentiful. Back in my day, the amount of materials that are available to people now is absolutely astounding. Just wig vendors alone, there are so many more options of very good quality wigs at some very reasonable prices, and you don't have to wait a year and a half to get it,
and they last a lot longer,
and they last way longer.
And you can style them a lot more easily too than some of the other synthetic fibers, and that goes for fabrics too. There's a lot more synthetic fabrics than there used to be, with a lot more really cool effects. You can get scales on fabric. In fact, I saw when I was at Joann's last weekend, they now have a taffeta feather fabric.
Yes,
so that
yes.
you can imitate feathers without actually having to glue down actual feathers or make individual ones. Now they just have fabric that mimics an entire strip of them. It's great. They wouldn't have had this 5 years ago. There's some really cool stuff out there. I'm a little jealous, quite frankly, but that's okay. I'll
that's okay. It's access to new things that we also get to benefit from too.
Right. Yep. And you may as well take advantage of all that information that's out there.
Because there's so much. You have
it at your fingertips. Please use it and then learn from it. And then please improve upon it and pass that on to the next generation of cosplayers too. It'll only just keep getting better from here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Since you can't own a character, you also can't really own a technique. Please don't.
No, because everybody, you know what? People have their ways of doing things, but I can assure you someone else has already thought of it, and it may just not be out there on the internet. Everybody has done everything. So just, you know, the only thing that's different is that there might be a new material that comes along.
Sure.
And that's like it.
I mean, if it's a piece of software, if it's like a robotic technique, if it's a particular machine, yes, I can see you taking ownership of that. Go ahead and patent it. But also, please don't necessarily keep it a complete secret.
Yeah, that seems really silly.
Especially if it improves the hobby. Like, you can license it. Go ahead. But knowledge is kind of meant to be shared. Especially when it's a hobby like ours.
It always boggled my mind that people tend to be very secretive of their technique for a costume. And I'm like, if it's one thing, if it's like a copywritten, well, it couldn't be, it can't be copyrighted, service mark. There we go. They could be service marked.
Right.
I mean, if it's something like super secret for a trade that you do that you actually like profit from, like, okay, I can understand that. But if you're doing this as a hobby, do you really need to keep it so secretive? Because if this person isn't going to find out about it, person GHJKLM, they're going to figure it out and put it out there anyway. I mean, all you're doing is just repressing the fun of the hobby by not sharing the knowledge. Obviously, if you don't want to make like a 500-page diatribe about every little thing that you did with your costume, you don't have to, but there are no trade secrets in garment making.
Right. And this is why you can't actually trademark generic garments. Like,
yeah.
You can't trademark the dress.
No.
Because a dress is a generic garment.
It's a generic item.
Yeah, you can have proprietary fabrics made for it.
Sure.
You can have your proprietary logo sewn on it. But even designs of dresses, for the most part, can't really be trademarked.
No.
And honestly, if you think about it, if you share technique with people, chances are good they'll be able to tell you how to improve it.
Exactly.
And that just helps you. I'm not saying give away your livelihood for free.
No,
yes,
no, no, no.
You can license things if you invent them. But all we're asking is that you don't, you know, let the secret go with you when you pass on over the Rainbow Bridge, please.
It just seems kind of silly.
Yeah. It's a hobby.
Keep it fun, dang it.
Keep the play in cosplay. That needs to be a shirt. Keep the play in cosplay.
I'm sure it is. It's probably on Redbubble.
Probably. This is one of those things. I'm not trademarking it. I'm putting it out into the world. I don't own it. Anyone is free to go and break out your Cricut machine and imprint it on a t-shirt or on a hat or on a mug. Feel free. Do your thing. I'm probably not the only person that has ever said this phrase.
No, I'm sure you're not.
But I think we have definitely covered this subject top to bottom, left to right.
Yes, and everything in between, including on the bias.
Yes, we have completely stretched it out. Anyways, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know what you think about ownership of a character, a technique, or anything else, feel free to join the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching, the information is located underneath Amber right there in the corner. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram as Cosplay Podcast, and on YouTube and the Bluebird app as Cos Podcast, or on Blue Sky as Cospod. Yay! That's going to be weird to throw in.
Of course, you can always email us, podcast@costpod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with Nick Cage memes. No, you can't own Nick Cage either.
Nor the meme, sorry.
Nope. But otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention close to us ASAP. Hopefully after the summer is over. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 284. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye!